Let's take the show out to West Virginia and talk to our next guest. Coos Walker needs no introduction. If you are on YouTube, if you're a West Virginia fan, he does outstanding work covering the West Virginia Mountaineers. But not just that, he's all over the Big 12. He's all over college football, college hoops. If it's going on, Coos Walker's got you covered, and he's joining us on Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. It is great to be here. As always, hit that subscribe button right below the video. If you're on the podcast, drop that five-star rating and review. Well, Coos, great to have you on the show, man. It's your first time here. We appreciate you doing it. And I just want to start off with this. 1 year ago, you're looking at this West Virginia football program, and you're like, does Neil Brown make it to Halloween? Right? Now, here he is, looking great, competing top tier in the Big 12. Last year surprised most people. Talk about that 180 and how surprised you are by what's happened to this program in the last 12 months.
Yeah, well, first off, Pete, thanks for having me on. Been wanting to work with you for a while. You're one of the best out there, so I appreciate what you and the Heartland College Sports folks are doing. About Neil, really, I mean, it was a surprise. Not shocked. I wasn't shocked because I knew he had it in him, and I knew the team had it in them. They just needed to make a few tweaks. But to go from where he was on the hot seat to being, I didn't see 9-4 with a bowl win necessarily coming. I thought they might get 7-8 wins. So they really kind of exceeded my expectations too. Mm-hmm. Even though I was one of the more positive people out there, really. And they even exceeded my expectations. So yeah, it was a surprise. So Neil coached himself from being on the hot seat to getting a 1 year extension within a matter of one season. So it's pretty remarkable, actually.
How is he? I mean, he seems culturally like a good fit there in Morgantown, but it was just a clunky first few years. What has that relationship been like, despite the struggles prior to last season, between the Mountaineer faithful and Neil Brown, the head coach and the guy?
Everybody, for the most part, loved Neil Brown, the guy. He checked pretty much every single box you want in a West Virginia coach. He's from Kentucky, right down the road in the Appalachian regions. So culturally, it's like, you know, he's got the same similar accent as me. I mean, you know what I mean? It's very comforting, right?
Yeah.
So he's like one of us in that regard. You know, he's very polished. He's professional. He's everything you want in a CEO of a football program. Family guy, you know, grinder, loves to recruit, all that. Just for whatever reason, it wasn't winning, you know. And at the end of the day, that's what matters the most in this business. And the fan base got impatient, you know, and a lot of people were calling for his job. And, but, you know, kudos to him for turning it around.
Yeah, absolutely. So now you look at it and you say, okay, what's next? I mean, they got tremendous returning pieces. They may have, you can argue it because the Big 12 is loaded in the backfield, but they may have the best 1-2 punch at running back in the entire conference. You know, I think Jaheim White's a guy who's going to be a household name in college football by the end of next season with Donaldson. So you love what they got going there. What helps this team and how do they take that next step from 8-4 to like, okay, last 2 weeks of November, we're in the hunt to get down to Arlington. What does that look like for this team?
The three things for me, number one, can they replace Zach Frazier and Doug Nestor on that offensive line? They were, you know, two seniors, obviously Zach Frazier, a second round draft pick. Many would argue he should have been a first-round draft pick, but nonetheless, very good players. And then Doug Nestor was another senior at right tackle. There is experienced guys coming back, though, on that line. So there are guys with starting experience to step into those roles, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. How well those guys could be replaced. The second thing for me is the wide receiver core. They're very young, with the exception of Jaden Bray, who we went and got from Oklahoma State out of the portal. Very young receiver core, but very talented. So how can they take another step? And then finally, for me, it's the defense. Can they take a step? That's been the biggest struggle, really, with West Virginia the last couple of years. Can they get into – to me, if they can become a top 40 or top 50, even top 50 defense in the country, with this offense that West Virginia has with Garrett Green coming back, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a minute, I think this team can go a really long way and compete for a Big 12 title.
Well, there you led right into it. Garrett Green. I mean, gosh, he made tremendous strides. You love to see it. Is he the guy that can win you a Big 12 championship? Can he be that kind of a quarterback?
I think so. The one thing he needs to clean up is his accuracy on the short and intermediate throws. If he does that, the sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm. Now, Nico Marischal, I mean, sounds like he had a hell of a spring. What's the word on him. Is he going to challenge for this thing, or is he just, he knows he's the backup one more season?
He knows he's the backup, but he also knows it's his job in 1 year because he's a four-star recruit, one of the most highly touted recruits what they've had at quarterback in a while. The fans love him. He's embraced the state, even though he's from out west. He and Garrett are really close. He loves Coach Brown. He loves the staff. He loves West Virginia. And he's also been very loyal. And Nico could have transferred knowing that Garrett was coming back, and he didn't. So that's made the fans love him even more. And he did. He had a great spring, as you mentioned. He stepped up. I think he did push Garrett. I don't think he challenged him for the job per se, but he did push him to make Garrett even better. And we're really excited about him. I think our quarterback room is in really good shape with him being the next guy in line to take that role, because I don't think our offense will miss a beat with him taking over for Garrett Green.
How, just thinking back on the last, couple of years, the crazy NIL transfer portal world we find ourselves in, you mentioned that with Nico. How is West Virginia positioned in this new NIL world when it comes to literally pay to play? Are they in a good spot on that front to be able to pay some of these guys that they need to pay to keep them in Morgantown?
I think they are, Pete. And the reason I say, and it's funny you mention that, because earlier when you asked me about Coach Brown and the struggles he had early on, one of the things he points to is West Virginia was about a year behind in getting an NIL collective established and off the ground, right? Mm-hmm. And because of that, for about two straight off seasons, West Virginia, we had a lot of guys leave for the portal. Not wasn't just a number of guys. We've had about the same number of guys leaving every year, but the problem was we had starters leaving. We had people like Akeem Messador who went to Miami. We had people like Darrell Worley, a DB that went to Miami. We had, just the list goes on and on of guys we had leaving the portal who were major contributors to the team. Now when you see guys leaving the portal, it's guys who want to go somewhere else and play, get more playing time for the most part. And the reason that is because Country Roads Trust, the NIL collective for West Virginia, is now well-established. They have really good support. They've done a great job raising money, and they have been able to retain the C.J. Donaldsons, the Garrett Greens, the Nico Markiels, the Jaheim Whites of the world. They've been able to retain those guys because of their improvement and their strength in the NIL space. And I think as long as Country Roads Trust is there, West Virginia can be competitive in the Big 12 from an NIL perspective.
And I will apologize to all West Virginia fans for screwing up Nico's last name. I'm still working on that one.
We all do it too, so don't worry about it.
Let me start off and just get into this. We've seen this conference change like crazy. You guys, West Virginia was part of that, conference realignment wave with TCU, over 10 years ago now. How does the West Virginia fan like the Big 12 conference? Because I'm just saying from afar, I think it's a great cultural fit, but I do understand that there's an angst of, gosh, what about the ACC? Just having those geographical rivals in that space, whether it's the Pittsburghs, the Virginia Techs, some of the old Big East teams. So what's kind of that relationship like from a Mountaineer perspective with the Big 12 all these years later, with everything changing right now too?
The West Virginia fans have embraced the Big 12, in my opinion, especially the last couple seasons. We've really felt the Big 12, the irate eight, if that's what you want to call us.
Yes.
We really, I think, formed a connection with each other during that period of time when Texas and Oklahoma were leaving. So West Virginia fans have embraced the Big 12, but that doesn't mean we don't long for the days of playing Pitt again. That doesn't mean we don't long for the days of playing Virginia Tech and being able to drive to away games again. We do miss that. We love the Big 12. I don't really want the ACC to implode. I don't think that's what's best for the sport, for college sports. But if it does, and which it looks like it could, it would not hurt our feelings one bit to grab some of those teams and get them into the Big 12, because that would make, we would be able to have the stability of the Big 12 with fan bases, like you said, we're a great cultural fit with, fan bases we've embraced and formed a connection with, and we've gotten grown to like over the last decade. And by the way, you also, now we get to add in some of your regional rivalries and some teams that are closer geographically. That would be, to me, that would be the best of both worlds. But that's kind of a, I hope I answered your question, but I mean, we love the Big 12, but we also miss the rivalries too at the same time.
And that's exactly what I expected. I mean, are there teams that in a perfect world you have your eye on if you're a West Virginia fan? I'm going to take a guess. You tell me where I'm at on this. I would put Pittsburgh on that list, obviously. I'd put Virginia Tech on that list. Louisville and NC State. What am I missing here? What did
that's
I get
pretty
wrong?
Much, that's pretty much the four I would list as well. Okay. For rivalry reasons, Louisville was a pretty good rival to us in the Big East days, the end of the Big East days. And then, and geographically, I think it makes sense too, right?
Yeah.
Right there, the next state over. And then obviously Virginia Tech and Pitt are longtime rivals. Those make sense. And then NC State, even though they're not really rival of ours, they're rival of ours. They're within driving distance of majority of West Virginia fans. Raleigh, North Carolina. I mean, I live in Southern West Virginia. I can be to Raleigh, North Carolina in less than 4 hours. So it's an easy trip. And
yeah,
and I think that would be massive. I mean, for example, we played the Dukes Mayo Bowl against UNC in Charlotte in the state of North Carolina. And it was probably 75% West Virginia fans in that stadium. So
I misread that thing. You know, I said going into the game, I'm like, oh, UNC is going to, you know, have that stadium 60-40. And I'll tell you what, West Virginia fans crushed me for it. And they were right. You guys owned that place. You thought it was 70-30, give or take?
Probably so. It might have been 60-40. I mean, I'm probably looking at it a little bit with a golden blue lens, but we definitely outnumbered them.
Yeah.
I'd say at least 60%, if not more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It has been, that was a very impressive show out and turnout for the Mountaineer faithful in that Duke's Mayo Bowl. And of course, ending with Neil Brown dumping himself in some Duke's Mayo, which was just a fantastic end of the season. So when you look at the Big 12 now, these four new teams coming in, they're all out West. They're all former Pac-12 teams. We know the story by now. Which one of these teams intrigues West Virginia fans the most? Is it Deion Sanders in Colorado just because of Prime? Is it Utah because of the way that the fan base has been kind of, for lack of a better word, a bit douchey coming into this thing? Is it the Arizona schools? Or is there not a lot of chatter around that?
We're excited about, I mean, obviously, as a West Virginia fan, to give the easy answer, Arizona, because they're on our schedule. But looking at the holistic view, obviously, you can't not think about and talk about the Colorado situation, right? And then Utah, to me, has become the new villain of the conference. They are – I mean, their fans do not want to be in this conference. Most of them don't any. There's a few that do. But for the most part, they don't want to be in the conference. They think they're better than the conference. They want to be in the Big Ten. They think they deserve the Big Ten. And you know, more power to them. I mean, they like their team. Hard to blame them for that. But so, yeah, it's Utah's kind of that team I now want to root against. So that's I find that intriguing. You've got to have somebody to root against. You know, that's what makes the sport so fun.
No doubt about it. I mean, they are embracing, the fan base at least, is kind of embracing what Texas is leaving this conference. Right. They're kind of becoming that, even though, of course, the pedigree is not quite – now, they've had tremendous success under Kyle Whittingham. But it's not Texas. But they want to embrace it. More power to them, like you said. Kuz Walker's joining us here on the show. His show on YouTube, Kuz's Corner, does a great job covering West Virginia and the rest of the college sports world as well. So this game against Penn State that the football program has to open up the season. Last year it was on the road. It was ugly, but Penn State turned out to be a top 10 team. But you guys, this is I give West Virginia a lot of credit. They schedule tough non-conferences. You got Pitt and West Virginia, Pitt and Penn State, just like last season. Penn State's at home. Pitt is on the road. So reverse it from last year. This Penn State game, how important is that to the fan base, knowing Penn State may have a top 10 team again? And if you lose that game, it really obviously doesn't mean anything when you talk about your Big 12 hopes and what the season can be.
Oh, it's massive. This is going to be the biggest home game in Morgantown since – I think it was 2012, I believe, when LSU came to Morgantown, when we did a home and home with them. It was Dana Holgorsen's first year as a coach. Massive, huge atmosphere. This is going to be the biggest home game since then. As far
non-conference,
as,
or you're talking anything?
Non-conference, anything. I mean, obviously Pitt's big because of the rivalry, but I'm talking about as far as pedigree of a team coming in.
Because there were a couple of games during the Holgorsen era when Oklahoma came in, and there were some big matchups there in November, as I recall. You think, fan base wise, this is bigger?
I think, yeah, probably so, because it's Penn State, and you know, West Virginia and Penn State have had a rivalry back in, you know, when you go back 30, 40 years, West Virginia and Penn State played almost every year, and it was somewhat. Now Penn State kind of owned us, so I don't know how much of a rivalry they consider it. But West Virginia fans, especially the ones in the older generation, they look at Penn State as a rival. So I think that's what makes it a little more special. And the fact that they're coming into Morgan, and it's a chance for revenge too, you know, after last year, and everybody's excited. It's going to be hard to get tickets to that game, to be honest with you. But yeah, it's exciting. And then Pitt, obviously, you know, it's the backyard brawl. It's really nothing else needs to be said. So two massive non-conference games that can really propel the team or potentially derail the team, depending on how they go.
And this Big 12 schedule, West Virginia got one of the toughest draws when it comes to the Big 12 schedule. I mean, this is the order. Kansas, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, K-State, Arizona. Right out of the gates, you got five teams that think they can compete for a Big 12 title. And then you wrap it up with UCF at Texas Tech, two more teams. I mean, seven of the nine teams are legitimate title contenders in the Big 12. So I know it's just how the schedule falls, but man, that is a brutal schedule. How much attention is that getting?
It's getting a lot. And I think, I mean, when you look at Vegas having the over-under at 6.5, I think that's probably the reason. And I think it's low myself, but man, I mean, and you know, you mentioned opponents. We have five teams who are all being talked about as potential conference champions back in five consecutive weeks. Back to back to back to back to back. I mean, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, who I think is a dark horse to win the league, by the way. Arizona, Kansas State, not in that order, but Kansas State and Kansas all in a row. Now, fortunately, three of the five are at home, which helps. Mm-hmm. But still, man, I mean, that is a gauntlet of a schedule. Gauntlet.
It is brutal. I mean, they might win one less game. I don't know if they go 7-5. It's entirely possible. And I don't think it'll be any indictment on Neil Brown or the staff. I just think it'll be a testament to the schedule that is just absolutely horrific by Big 12 standards.
Yeah, to me, they need to win at least eight to keep him, to keep the fan base from, you know, going all in again.
Really? So you think he's got to get to that 8-4 in the regular season number, or are you including the bowl game?
In my mind, it's eight. Well, if you want to count the bowl game, I'd say, yeah, you can count the bowl game. Okay. 7-5 and a bowl win, I'd be okay with it. I think anything less than that, it's not, I mean, because you feel like you're regressing again at that point.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's a good point. All right, Kuz, I got to ask you where this program is when it comes to Bob Huggins, the turmoil in the basketball program the last 12 months. We know how messy that ended. Last year was kind of a lost year. Now you hope Coach DeVries can turn this thing around. But, like, gosh, you just hate to see how this thing ended with Coach Huggins. So where is that relationship at with the university, with Bob? Can it be mended? Will it ever be mended? What's going on there on that front?
Yeah. I think over time it can be mended with Coach Huggins. I mean, the fan base still, for the most part, still loves the guy. I mean, he's done so much for the university. He's raised tens of millions of dollars for cancer research, during his time there, which is, you know, completely outside of what he's done for basketball. He's basically solely responsible, along with donors, for getting a new basketball facility and a new practice facility built, which everybody says is one of the nicest ones in the country. He pretty much did that. He went out and got the money raised pretty much on his own because he didn't get the amount of support he wanted from university. I mean, he's done a lot. You know, he kept us. I mean, John Beilein, you could say, put West Virginia on the map, but Bob Huggins took us to another level. And you know, he'll forever be indebted to a degree, but what he did, you can't do that. When you're the head coach of a basketball program, you're a CEO. CEOs can't get DUIs in company cars. You just can't do it, especially 6 weeks after making a slur on the radio.
Yeah.
Just can't do it. But over time, here's what I think over time, if Huggins will just be quiet, stop doing interviews, stop talking about how he feels like he was done wrong by the university, and just fade off into the sunset, so to speak, time will heal wounds. And I think, you know, and I think at some point he will get his moment in the sun again, hopefully, and get honored and or something, you know, inside the Coliseum.
Yeah. And you know what? He deserves it. You're right about that. Time hopefully will heal those wounds, and we'll be watching it, following it from afar here in a Big 12 country. Coos Walker, he does a great job. His show on YouTube covers not just West Virginia, but everything else happening in college sports around the Big 12 as well. Coos's Corner is where you find him there on YouTube. That's C-O-U-Z, Coos's Corner. Check him out there. He's doing great work. And we appreciate you being here, my friend. We'll do this again soon.
Absolutely, Pete. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is. Coos's Corner, Coos Walker on Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Hit that subscribe button before you head out on the podcast, on the YouTube page, and we'll do it again soon, covering everything in the Big 12. Have a great day.